Good evening and welcome to week 10 of the 12-week Unleash Tapping into the Divine Flow Behind the Book conference call. We're going chapter by chapter, and boy, have we covered a lot of things. We've covered so much of the Divine Flow in the previous chapters and weeks, and we're coming to the supplementary part. If you have your book, you can turn, and it says part 3, Maximize the Flow. Okay, we've discussed the divine flow, and now we're focusing on maximizing the flow. So this is the supplement that will actually make the divine flow work even better and be more efficient. And the way we're going to start this off is by looking at a very, very critical element, because after we've heard about revelation, inspiration, imagination, creativity, God wanting to do amazing works through you, some of us might become a little anxious, if you will, about putting these principles to work and making sure that we're not wasting time, but God actually is bringing us into the divine flow. But there is an element called timing and activation that really affects when, how, and where God is going to really activate us and set us up for our divine flow or our tap into the divine flow. And this is where we are today, chapter 10, timing and activation. Okay, if you turn with me to page 138, you see a diagram, and it's a very important diagram on the importance of timing. Timing is so important because I'll share it in a nutshell. Time is something that we cannot change. We can change our attitudes. We can change our habits. We can change our environment. We can change the people who we most associate with. We can change our pants. We can change our car. But one thing we will never be able to change is time. And that timing has such a mysterious element to it, because it's the one thing or one of the many things that we cannot change. And so I share on page 138 that there is a 1 in 7 shot for you to get awesome timing. When you're at the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. And if you look at the diagram on page 138 in detail, you'll be able to find out how to get into that sweet spot of timing where you are at the right place, you're doing the right thing, and the time is right. When that happens, there is no one who can hold you back. When that happens, everything you say, do, and touch turns to gold. And that's what I call the sweet spot of timing. And it's a 1 in 7 chance, so there's more of a chance that you will not be in timing than you actually will. So that's why it's so important for us to nail down this thing called timing. And I discuss it in this whole chapter. So when you get a chance, if you haven't read it, read it over, because this is an important part, not only of the divine flow, but in life in general, whether spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, everything revolves around timing. I move on in page 139 to talk about something that I call the ambiguity of God's will. When something is ambiguous, that means it has many definitions. It has many faces, many facets. And the simpler version or definition of the ambiguity of God's will is that God's will is never just for you. I'll say that again. God's will is never just for you. We seem to live in an egocentric society where it's about me, myself, and I. But that's why it's so important for us to obey what the Lord says and obey his voice and obey his commandments, because his will, being in his will, is never just for one individual. It never is. It's always about a host. It's always about a nation of people who are affected in a butterfly or a domino effect. So that's why it's so important for you to obey God. That's why it's so critical and so rewarded. Page 140, I give an example of us out here, those of us in Queens and Far Rockaway, you know that people brave the cold to go and surf, even in New York. I didn't think it was possible, but sure enough, wherever there's water, you'll find surfers. And I observed as I was sitting and reflecting on the beach one day, looking at what they were doing, I observed that there's some parallels between those who are tapping in, saints who want to be a part of God's move and the next mighty cutting-edge outpouring of the Lord, and a parallel between surfers. And you can read from page 140 to 142 to really get into it. And I encourage you once again to read it and really focus on it because it's so important. And then I share on page 144. Now, this is where we get to the heart and the emotions of the matter, because we all say to ourselves, well, you say something special about this thing called activation, but what do I do when I'm not activated? What do I do when I'm waiting for a prophecy to be fulfilled? What do I do when I'm seeing other people blessed and it seems like God is just playing a game with me, torturing me while time is moving so slowly? Well, I want to encourage you in this section of the book by letting you know that God has a distinction for this thing called non-activation. In other words, when you are waiting for your calling, your purpose, your assignment, your ministry, your vision to be fulfilled, God hasn't left you out in some aisle or out in some banished place. You're not in Siberia. You're not on the Isle of Patmos. He has a purpose for you, and this place is a definite place. I've learned that there are only two modes when it comes to being activated. There's being activated, and that means you're operating in your gift or your calling. You're doing what you dreamed of. You're doing what you were ordained to do. And then there is preparation. Preparation means every single thing other than operating. That means if you're called to sing, preparation is going to conferences, looking at videotapes of concerts of your favorite artists, you know, researching their background, doing vocal drills, taking vocal lessons. If you're a speaker, that means going to workshops on public speaking. That means reading about other authors, other speakers. That means making sure you are preparing yourself so that when your time of activation does come, you will be ready. And not only will you be ready, but you will have what I call instantaneous success. And I continue to share on page 147 that we need to get comfortable with respecting the build. Respecting the build. Understand anything that is of worth is built up to. Anything that is dramatically life-changing is humongous, is effective, is worth the build that it takes to get there. I'll give you a couple of examples. An author, before he brings us to the critical point or the plot, he first exposes the characters and makes sure we know that Johnny was a nice man who took care of his cancer-ridden mother, so that when the monsters come for Johnny, there's a sense of pathos, there's a sense of emotions being invested in Johnny because we saw the softer side, we saw behind the scenes, and we feel like Johnny is a nice person. Before the plot of the book is mentioned, the build of the characters draws the reader in so that when the plot is made, the reader is drawn in. The comedian, before he shares the punchline to his joke, he builds the joke. And that's why I'm not a comedian, because I don't have time to build jokes. I just share it and then, you know, watch people's faces, you know, say, okay, that wasn't very funny. And the worst times, the worst kind of joke, and I know you've experienced this before, is the kind of joke that you have to explain after you tell the joke. You know, you ever had that happen where you're painfully and awkwardly just trying to share every thought behind why the person should be laughing, and then after you share the joke and the explanation of the joke, all you get is a, wow, yeah, that's a pretty funny. All right, moving on. Well, the comedian, what they do is they build a joke, and then at the end of their program or the end of their block, or I forgot what you call it, their session, they give that one last punchline and do what I call a harvest of laughter. In other words, everyone is just waiting on the edge of their seats and referring to the different things that they use or the different comments they use in their session. They give the punchline, and all of a sudden the audience erupts. It's because of a build. And we wonder why, when God wants to do something awesome in our life and he wants to do something amazing in our life, we wonder why we have to wait. We get frustrated with the wait. Well, my encouragement to you is to respect the build in your life. Know that if God is building, then there is a definite purpose. There is a definite destination for you. And if he's taking all of this time to prepare and build you, you better believe the end result is going to be great. So I share further on page 151 to encourage and inspire that with God, there is no such thing as waiting. And I wish I could explain it the way I wrote it, so I'll just read this passage. On page 151, paragraph 2, the title says, "No Such Thing as Waiting." And it reads, "What you have to realize is that God is that with God, there is no waiting as we know it. With him, there are only two modes. There is activation or preparation. That's it. There is no wasted time with the Most High." I love that. I love the assurance that that brings to me. You know, it really washes over me, washes out all of the frustrations and doubts and concerns and anxieties when I hear this thought that there is no wasted time with the Most High. Because I know we've all felt like years of our lives were wasted, months, weeks were wasted. But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, God had a plan, and nothing fell to the wayside. Every second is purposed and accounted for. There is no dead space. There is no sitting around wondering when God is going to give you a break. Because there are only two modes. You are either in activation, where you use your gifts, skills, talents to do exploits, or preparation, where you are actively pursuing improvement, knowledge, mentorship, and excellence in the area in which you have been called to be effective. So that's my encouragement to you, that you realize your God doesn't have time to waste because you can't get time back, and that's the way he designed it. So he, the designer of time, is not going to waste time because he made time to be unredeemable. Page 153, I share the law of preparation and what I love and coined the 90-10 preparation ratio. There is a law of preparation that even in nature, things grow, but until they are prepared, they are in a state of perpetual preparation. Trees grow, but until they can support the weight of the fruit, no fruit grows. A blockbuster movie is made for 2 or 3 years at times, all for a two-hour experience. Musicians bring their singers, dancers, etc., for weeks of practice and rehearsals for a two-hour experience in a concert. And again, the comedian, he builds his joke and harvests the laughter at the end when the crowd erupts in an applause, leaving him. There is an old management adage that says every minute spent in planning saves you 10 minutes in execution. And Abraham Lincoln once said, which is one of my favorite quotes, if I had 10 hours to cut down a tree, I would take 9 sharpening my axe. So what is this 90-10 preparation ratio in closing? The 90-10 preparation ratio is the amount of importance you place on the two. Preparation gets 90% of your importance or priority, and activation only 10. And what this simply means is focus on what you can do today to prepare for your tomorrow. Don't worry about your tomorrow because it will come. Once you prepare yourself, your tomorrow will, in a sense, take care of itself. You won't have to labor over your performance during your activation when you have been diligent in your preparation. And the second part is the 90-10 ratio represents the amount of responsibility you place on both you and God. You place 90% of the responsibility on yourself. That means God is good, God is great, but it's my responsibility to get the book. It's my responsibility to seek out the mentor. It's my responsibility to go get the impartation or the instruction. It's my responsibility to register for the workshop or the seminar. And you leave 10% up to God. What happens is you find that in that process of preparation, that you're much like the diamond, right? On page 157, paragraph 4, I share with you how to make a diamond. Carbon is buried under 4 elements: heat, dirt, time, and pressure. I'll say that again. Heat, dirt, time, and pressure. Sometimes the heat gets hot in the kitchen. Your friends, maybe even family, spectators, try to bury your name under some dirt, and there is a whole lot of tension and pressure surrounding your waiting period. But if you would allow this last element of time to just round up all of these other elements, then you will come forth as a diamond, which is the hardest element, which can cut through any other element. And people will look to you and place a price on you that no one can numerate. No one can pay. And that's the power of becoming a diamond and going through the process of a diamond. If you endure the heat, the dirt, the pressure, and the time, you will come forth and you will shine. And in closing, the glorious inversion to the divine flow is this. That I said 90-10, the preparation ratio, right? Well, after you have done all that you could, the 90-10 ratio reverses and it becomes 10 and 90. And I'll explain. I read on page 158, paragraph 2. Focus your full attention on preparation. Know that God has a plan and a time for you to execute and be effective. Work on the 90%. Like it all depends on you. Let go of the 10% like it all depends on God. If you are waiting, your responsibility is to learn and grow, not to wait and complain. Wow, I'll say that again. Your responsibility is to learn and grow, not to wait and complain. Remind yourself that success is when opportunity meets preparation. Now listen to this. When God is ready for you to arise, he will turn the equation inside out, and the 10% he does will create 90% of the momentum, and it will feel like only 10% of your effort. I'll read that again if it was too fast for you. When he is ready for you to arise, he will turn the equation inside out, and the 10% he does will create 90% of the momentum, and it will feel like only 10% of your effort. And I'll break it down for you because I know somebody's waiting for this. When you put all the responsibility on yourself and say, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to be diligent, then when it's time for you to operate, you will move in the grace of your excellence as if you're not even moving or not even breaking a sweat. And it's because you're allowing God to use the preparation that you have made and put his force behind it. And it'll feel like you're riding on the wings of his divine grace. So my encouragement to you is to respect the build and know that there is a timing to your activation. And while you are waiting for your activation, prepare. I will conclude the recording.